Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, the numbers have been crunched and Ben Affleck takes the top spot in the box office. Plus, we have somebody, a long-lost visitor, has backed with us once again. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, look at that. Welcome to Box Office Breakdown, here where we, every week, we talk about the box office that was, and then...
Carrie Lynn prognosticate! I couldn't contain myself. I couldn't.
I tried to jump in with the chivalry
is dead, okay? We have someone who has been
setting
it
up.
Verbal diarrhea.
Yeah.
It just comes out.
You just got your word.
It does that.
It's okay, I'll let you have that word.
Okay.
Carrie, do you want just a taste? Go ahead.
Say it. Prognosticate.
Yes!
Quinn?
Now with the pressure, I'm like, oh, wait, am I going to say it right?
I know. Like, pressure's
wait,
on.
Wait, that is how we say it, right?
Okay. That's right. Yes, we prognosticate about the box office to come. So we
that
saw...
That was...
Or are we going to prognosticate about the one to come? We talk about the one that happened.
The prognostication is the
yes,
future.
Yes, I understand now. Okay,
yes.
Sorry. I was like, wait.
You're getting into the little definition of prognosticate.
Yes.
So I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
Hi, guys. I'm Quinn Skillian. You can follow me on Twitter at Quinn Skillian.
And I'm Carrie D. Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. Or it's just Carrie Lane, but anyway.
She's back, ladies!
And I missed you guys. Woo! I missed you so much. Whoop. I did.
And I'm DJ Richie Scott, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Scott.
What happened to the stalking?
That's right.
And the stalking
Oh, dang.
Can we have the chat a little
That's right.
Bigger?
Yeah, so if you want to stalk us there, why don't you like us on Facebook?
Yes.
Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And as always... Hop on the chat. We loved having you guys interacting with us, being the fifth member of our panel. That's right. You're the fourth. Usually you'd be the fourth member, but that is only because Carrie Lane has been gone for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, Carrie Lane is back with us. She's been away, as I've said, for the past few weeks, filming a movie.
Yeah.
Carrie Lane, a horror movie. Yes.
How was it?
It was awesome.
Give us a little brief rundown. What was the experience like?
It's exhausting. So I was the assistant director, which means you do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to describe it is like you're a sheepdog. In terms of you have to herd everyone, you have to wrangle the loose stray ones, and you got to bite at those heels to keep people moving. Because your job is schedule, keeping things going. And
because time is money, baby.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and it's 2 weeks, long, long days, like 10 to 10, 11 to 11, 12 to 12, mm-hmm. plus extra time after because you're like, wait, we didn't get the shot, got moved the next day. We filmed at 2 haunted hotels. I didn't see anything.
Was one of them the one downtown where they did American Horror Story?
You know, I started watching that episode right after we filmed, and I couldn't not watch it without a filming perspective. I'm like, oh, that's a really nice shot. I like how they changed their lens there. And then where is this hotel?
You're never going to watch it again.
No, I still like it. But yeah, it's hard to detach. No, we filmed at the Normandy and the Hayward.
Cool.
The Hayward is like downtown, mm-hmm. and Normandy's a little more K-town.
So two places to never go to.
Yes.
But yeah. Did you feel any presence?
I didn't, but a lot of other people did.
Really? When
they did scouting at the Hayward. Like, we filmed in the, like, sub-basement. Like, you went... I will tell you this. When we went to the scouting, I got to go on the scouting, and... the security guard let us in to the basement area, and he's like, all right, bye, peace out. Like,
he wasn't going
to
hang out.
He didn't want to stay. And I was like, wait, you're going to let us roam around, or you're not going to, like, make sure we don't, you know, break anything?
You guys should have stolen
some
stuff.
No, he was like, no. So it's, like, this main level basement, and then another basement. There's weird mannequins there for no reason, and you're like, why are these here? And then there's, like, down some steps, and other people who went at other days, they were like, no, there's something there. And I was like, nope, didn't bother me. It was so cool. I must say, it was like, it just like, it's a beautiful, because it's so like, creepy location. Mm-hmm. It's like, perfect.
I'd have been the one being like, nope.
More people came, I'm like, have you been to the basement yet? Come on, we can go in the basement.
Did it feel differently with the film crew there? Like, did you think like that took away from like the?
I was in so much go mode, I couldn't really think about it too much. Oh, okay. But if you were the only one there, there were times like that where you maybe were like,
that's our next box office bet. You have to go sleep in the basement.
Wouldn't do that.
And then I was going to say, may as well shout out. Yeah, the movie's called Followed.
Followed.
That's right.
It's on IMDb right now listed. And then I don't have any.
Any
we
similarity?
We literally just finished.
Yeah.
Any
so
similarity
I don't know
to It Follows?
No.
Which is a great movie, by the way.
I actually never saw it, but
Netflix.
I don't think so.
You need to check that one out.
It Follows?
It Follows.
I know that one. I don't think I've seen it yet.
So, Carrie, was this your first time being a first AD?
This is my first feature, but I've done AD on short films and music videos. So this was my first feature and feature length, you know, like full on. And it had I have many compliments of someone's like, oh no, I think it'd be your fifth. And I was like, yes.
Nice. All okay. Right. I don't come off as an amateur. That yes. is the best feeling in the world. When you are like tricking people into thinking that you have more experience than you have is an amazing feat.
Because it's just more elaborate than the small one. And then just so you guys know, if you don't know anything about assistant directors, generally they can be the biggest a-holes. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Because they just have so much stress on them and so much pressure that they can just like have this really angsty, like, energy. So then my goal is, like, keep things fun, but we got to keep it moving. A lot of people registered that. So I was like, okay, good.
There
That's
you
my
go.
Goal. I want, like, I want to have fun. I'll make total sexual innuendo jokes and, like, mess with you guys. But okay, we got to get going, guys. It's like, focus, move. Yeah.
Lighthearted, but firm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
The way it should be.
So can you give us just the log line of the movie?
I was no? like, I wanted to look on IMDb and make sure. I'm like, hold on, because I'm all, yeah, because well, it's one of those, I'm like, I'm curious of what they said. I will tell you, I like the idea. I'm literally looking this up right now, guys, because I'm like, I don't want, oh, there is another movie called Followed, but completely different.
Is that like about Twitter?
It's all about stalking Richie Sky.
No, sort of. Be. Here we go, guys. I just want to read the IMDb one because I don't want to give out too much. But depicted as a string of online vlog posts being navigated by an unseen observer, Followed is about an irreverent, I was like, what? A vlogger of the macabre who takes his show and crew of three friends to a famous hotel rumored to be haunted by its evil past. Based on, in part, on historical occurrences at the actual Cecil Hotel in downtown Los Angeles, Mike and his crew encounter an evil entity that resides in the hotel that may or may not be what it seems.
Mm. So do people actually stay in this hotel?
Yeah, both of them.
The Cecil is the one from
the
American
Cecil
Horror,
is the one,
story.
And a couple of our actors actually went there. And we went on a ghost tour to prep for, like, as a thing together.
Actually, I would do that.
Which was super fun.
I would so do that. During the day.
Thank you, guys.
I went on a ghost tour when I was in New Orleans, too. Like, I swear to God, I will. I think it's really, really interesting, and I actually love it. I just like it daytime with friends.
Yes.
Not alone.
And thanks
for
being in the chat room. Thank you so much, guys. Oh, it's Carrie with K-A-R-I, but autocorrect or something. Aw, thanks for the support. And yeah, no, I would totally recommend it. From what I've seen, the actors did an amazing job. And we've talked about horror movies a lot on this show. And I like that the idea is it's a YouTuber telling the story.
Uh-huh.
So
that's a fun
it's
take
told
on
that
it for
way.
Sure.
Yeah, because there was, you know...
is the guy that did Chocolate Rain? Is that the guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, the other one... Unfriended. So, like, that one is, you know, a different form of social media. So this one, I really like that it was something we can all relate to. We all know YouTube and stuff like that. So the idea of following. And you guys, I'll link it on Twitter, but we have some videos of our character making, like, real vlogs. And they look cool. I'm like, I would watch this show.
Oh, for like, awesome. Yeah. Like, okay, cool. I cannot wait.
Yeah. So guys, follow me on Twitter and I'll link them and we'll post it.
And before we get going, we always like to give a little shout out to Sky, who says, Ricky has a super cute caramel bar.
Ooh.
Look at that.
You have a not-so-secret admirer.
Thanks, Sky.
Aw, thanks. Welcome back. Oh,
sure.
Close, thank you.
Close enough.
All right, so let's just jump into the box office here. We'll see how sharp Carrie's box
I know, guys. I'm a little out
are.
Of the loop,
yes.
So.
Oh, sure. Somebody
but I saw
a movie,
though.
Oh, what is right, yes.
I saw Miss...
Miss Peregrine.
Peregrine. I want to call her Pettigrew because I'm like, no, that's the other movie.
Yeah, that's
Miss Peregrine.
Oh, nice. Well,
but we'll
get,
talk about
it. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll hear Carrie's little review there. We start off number one, though. Ben Affleck and the Accountant from Warner Brothers. $24.7
million. I wanted to see
did
it. I wanted to just
see
get
this
to
movie?
It.
I did not
no,
see it
No, that was
yet.
My other one. Yeah.
I've heard good things. So it just still seems so... He seems like the... I don't know. I guess I got to see
what
it.
What have you heard?
I know. I've heard that...
What do you mean by good things?
What are your thoughts? What are you judging right now?
What am I judging? I just see the trailer and I just see like his affectations as this somewhere on the spectrum.
Can we just talk about in like this in the grand scheme of like jobs people have on this earth, one of the most boring I could possibly think of would be accounting.
Yeah.
So to have an entire movie based on like a job that people don't really want to do.
Yeah, but that's not
he's
it.
More
I
than
think
just
where's the drama?
But here's the
here.
Thing. I think
where's
that's
the
irony mm-hmm. of this whole situation.
I understand. I totally do. Just holy shit, do I not want to see this movie.
Albin in the chat said, saw the movie, so what did you think of The Accountant?
How was it, Albin?
Even though I love, oh my gosh, now I can't think of his name.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, of course I love Ben Affleck. I do love him. I'm going to say it
but
right now.
But it's a Hitman movie, though, too.
I'm shocked that you don't want to see it.
Nope, I'm going to, no.
I'll let you know. I want to see it. I just didn't get to it yet. Okay.
Well, somebody go see it and let us know.
I sympathize. But guys, I totally understand where Richie's coming from, not seeing stuff. Because, yeah, when you're filming or when you're working, I'm like, there's no time.
There's no time.
Absolutely none. Yeah.
Life just passes you by.
Accountant deserves it. It's
proper crazy.
Proper crazy? Okay. Right. I enjoyed it. If you like Ben Affleck, you should watch it. Okay, yeah.
That's probably a good movie. Maybe we're just judgy.
You know what? Yeah. I think maybe I haven't heard enough about it, so maybe I just gotta wait and see. If people are really, really hyping up this movie, then I'd be like, oh, shit, I gotta go see this movie. But that's not happening as of yet.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well. Just be a taste follower instead of a taste maker, Quinn.
You know what? Okay.
Coming in number two, The Girl on the Train from Universal, 12.2.
See, I saw this movie.
Oh, okay.
You're so excited. Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I mean, there were parts and points in time where I felt like, okay, we could speed this train up a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, I enjoyed it.
Okay. Now, Stephen and Quinn last week kind of mixed. Kind of a mixed.
What did you think about Justin Theroux?
I mean, I feel like I'm going to give that away if people haven't seen it. But I felt like he was the same guy in Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Same accent?
Not really, but like the character. Yeah. There wasn't much of a difference when you really got down to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that was the point. I think it's kind of a little bit almost like the Midsummer Night's Dream thing where all four leads are interchangeable in like their personality and they're all very similar looking. So I understand that that's kind of like where that's coming from.
Yeah.
But I just think he's really goofy.
I'm not as adamant as you were against the accountant on this, for this, but I had no real interest in Girl on the Train. I'm like, meh.
But I will say Emily Blunt, she nailed it. She brought it with her.
That's the only reason I might go.
And I thought it was a really tough thing that she did really, really well, especially when, I mean, like, we can say it, she drinks in the movie, and you sometimes watch people act drunk, and it's not like what being drunk looks like, and she really, really did it with a lot of grace and a lot of.
And it, I don't know. Every time I saw her taking a sip of that cup, I was just like,
"Girl,
that's too much."
But I read the book, and when you're reading the book, you really are just like,
she drinking a whole lot.
Stop
then,
drinking.
See,
but that's what being an alcoholic is. It's like you're on the outside. You're just like, why are you still drinking? I think that was done really, really well.
So you read the book then?
You have to see her sipping it. Okay. You just have to see it.
Yeah. Well,
totally random, but
I did think it was awesome. I thought it was an awesome movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't go into the movie trying to figure out what was going to happen or how it all happened. Mm-hmm. I was just following her journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a good way to watch it.
But my friend was like, oh no, I knew what happened at the end. I was like, well, why do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Can't we just watch a movie and be in it?
Back to accountant. Like someone says Jack Reacher too.
Yes, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I can't.
And John Wick too. I'm excited for that one.
To John Wick.
Okay. Coming in at number three, we've got Kevin Hart. What Now? 11.7
million. Oh my God! I saw this
million.
Movie. It was phenomenal.
Did you see it?
I'm lying.
Okay.
I'm
please.
I was about to be like, wait, dish? Cause what?
I'd be like, really? For real?
No,
Kevin?
I didn't.
No.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Misty.
Nope.
Congrats, Kevin.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess.
So it's just like his stand-up, yeah?
Yeah, with some kind of like interstitials kind of throughout it, kind of like some set pieces.
Why don't you
stuff.
Just watch it as like a Netflix special?
That's what we were saying, like HBO or Netflix, that's kind
that's
of where these
kind
things
of
are
where
really
I feel
thriving.
Like that should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, coming in at number, where are we at? Two or three?
Three.
Coming in at number three, hey, then go ahead.
That's
open
not bad.
Up.
Not a bad.
Open
not
up bad. Then. I mean, if you're going to be able to pull those kind of numbers, might as well put it in theaters, I guess.
I guessed that it was going to be number
two. Yeah, it's a stand-up special.
So.
It's interesting just to put that in theaters, though, compared to just like, there's tons of comedy specials
you know,
on like
yeah,
Netflix
you know,
or HBO. It's
yeah,
reminds
but the
me
thing
of,
is, Kevin Hart is hot right now.
That's
so
what I was
going to
say.
Exactly.
It almost feels like more.
And then put it on Netflix and then put it on HBO.
It almost feels like more of a Never Say Never. Never Say Never or the One Direction or the Katy Perry where they come out with these like huge because I think that Kevin Hart is that famous whereas like you know when you're going to get these more kind of niche comedians who are coming out like Bo Burnham or you know Bill Burr all these people who are doing their Netflix specials I think he really is famous enough to pull the Never Say Never and,
well,
like, and the Katy Perry and so that's why I
mean 11,000 sorry
I
and
think
you know
11,
it didn't take 11 million to make this
movie. It makes more
it
sense that he was going to be able to pull off, you know, a theater release.
What do you think, everybody in there in the chat? Would you want to see Richie Sky do a stand-up or a concert?
Let me develop mine, because it's coming. If Kevin Hart can do it, so can I.
Number three, number four, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, $8.9 million. And Carrie, you saw this.
I did. I liked it a lot. I didn't love it. I was talking with our voice in the sky.
What kept you from loving it?
The pacing was a little slow.
Right.
I was very interested in the story and the world, so I didn't mind the world building, but I just felt the pacing was strangely slow. Like, I'm like, okay, get to the action a little faster or give me more. And then there's a thing that, like, it took forever to reveal, and I'm glad they finally did, because if they didn't do it, I would have been like, okay, I need to know. But there's one thing that you're like, all right, good, I wanted to know that thing. I don't want to give that away.
What did you think about Samuel L. Jackson?
He was cool. Oh, okay, a weird one, and I didn't look into this that much because I didn't really care before I saw it, and I don't know if you guys heard about it, but because everybody has to get offended about everything, there was some talk about, before this movie came out, there's not enough ethnic variety.
We talked about that it was a little whitewashed, and that Tim Burton had said some things that we did not like so much.
Okay, I didn't see those, but then I heard he did fight to get Samuel L. Jackson in it.
As the villain.
Yeah.
Which is problematic.
Yeah, but then again, it's in a very specific small place in England where there probably isn't that much ethnic variety. So I didn't, and it's in 1942. So there's probably not that.
But there's no reason why any of these children needed to be one thing or another. It's Miss Peregrine's home for whatever. They're peculiar. They could be anything.
They do mention there's other places. So then if they went to those other places and you saw other kids from other ethnicities, then that'd be fine. But
even when I saw the trailers for it, I thought the trailers were very slow to build as well. So I feel like that just went along with the movie.
And then, I don't know, it's just one of those, like, they're all weird anyways. Oh, okay. And then technically, two of them, they don't necessarily, the twins, you don't have an ethnicity. So, whatever. It's cool.
I don't know if that's fair to say they're weird. They're peculiar.
I didn't love Samuel L. Jackson. I didn't like his performance.
Okay.
It really left something to be desired for me. He really just, like, I said this when we were talked about it last week.
You thought it was too much of a phone-in or something?
It was a little bit more like a Kingsman performance where it was really, really, or Kingsman, whatever that movie was called.
No, I didn't like his lisp in Kingsman.
Where it was really hawky and it just felt like he was in a different movie than everybody else. The stakes that the kids had were so high and his stakes were so low, which I understand comes with, like, the villain qualities of him. I just really thought that he pulled me out of the world. Personally,
but I enjoyed it. Something weird, though, too. I thought the lead boy, something about the way he talked or his voice was a little weird.
He was the one from that one movie with the clocks in the train station.
Oh, Martin Scorsese. That's Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, the Scorsese movie. Yeah.
I mean, I liked him. Don't get me wrong. I didn't dislike him. Just something about the cadence and, like, just the how his voice sounded was a little weird to me. Mm-hmm. But I liked him, and I liked all the kids, and it's cool, but it's like more of a 4-star. Like, it's really cool, but it's not like, oh my gosh, I gotta go buy it.
Netflix. Okay.
Maybe.
All right. And
it's
then
it's not like so action that you need it, you know.
Hugo.
Hugo. Oh, yes. Thanks, Alvin.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a hard book to adapt. This is also one I would want to read it. My friend really liked the book, and I'll let you know how the book is, guys. I'll go read the book.
I told them I sat next to a little girl who had read the book when I was sitting in the theater, and the entire movie she was like, I thought they changed that. That's different. That's not how it was in the book. And I was like, girl, I'm about to smack that popcorn right out.
Oh, I don't say it out loud. I am that person, though, but I'll be like, but it's better.
The previews during this movie were excellent, though.
Yeah, I like the previews enough that I'm like, this is cool. But it's one of those things, oh, yeah, Ender's Game. Yeah, that too. Needed to see all Ouija right. 2 looks like another not needed see. Okay, well, wait. I was thinking that Ouija is not necessarily a sequel because it's actually more of a prequel.
It is. It's the origin of evil.
Okay, because I'm more interested because it's an origin, not a sequel.
Gotcha.
I wasn't interested at all in the first one. I'm like, meh. But I'm like, ooh, the origin. I'm curious.
Yeah, so yeah, Media Shack, Ouija is opening up. In fact, it's opening up this coming weekend here in the U.S. But we'll run into our top five before we jump into next week.
Back to the racing. Samuel Jackson was probably one of the first black people featured in a Tim Burton film.
Oh, that made me chuckle.
And that's depressing.
Our last film in the top five is Deepwater Horizon from Lionsgate. $6.4 million.
I mean, honestly, watch this movie go. Like, I really didn't... I did not think it was going to be... in the top five for this long.
Who's
gonna
it's
see
based
it?
On a true yeah. story. It's a survivor story. It's America kind of something.
I think it has more to do with the other movies that have been coming out lately. But yeah. I'm happy for Mark Wahlberg and yeah. for Kate Hudson.
But is anyone going to see it?
No.
I think it'd have to come to me at home. And then turn on the TV.
We can't even get you to wear Devil Wears Prada.
It has to knock on the door and come to you.
That's right.
It's like, do you mind if I hop on your TV screen, please, just for a little bit? And you'll go,
all
right. Well, okay.
Yeah, listen, he can't even watch Devil Wears Prada. And it's been 3 weeks.
I know, man. Mm-hmm. There's so much time. I can't live in the past, Richie. I've got to embrace the future.
Mm-hmm. You guys, there has been so many movies that I go, okay, is that one I got to see? And you guys, yeah, really give that one a go. And then I go home later and I go, what was that movie I was supposed to watch? And I can't remember.
The worst.
So we need to tweet at her and be
I need to write a list down while we're here.
While you're watching seasons upon seasons of
Pretty Little Liars, baby. Got a secret. Mm. Can you keep it?
Now, last week's box office bet was about the film Max Steel. I know everybody's been excited about this. I mean, fans have been raving about this. A lot of buzz happening around this movie. It was sure to just topple the box office. No, it made $2.1 million.
Oh, my God. Who's going to go see that?
Well, after our box office bet, Quinn made the big, I think she did with 16?
I said 12.
12. Yes, so $12 million.
Only 10 off.
Which I think Media Shock agreed with me on. There was a couple people who were up there with me.
Media Shock has to see it, too.
I don't mean to call you out, Media Shock, but I'm just saying it wasn't like I was the only one who said it was going to make that much.
Quinn, right now, are you calling up Media Shock? Does he need to see this movie now? In solidarity,
I think you should.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Our Media Shack.
It's a date, baby. We're gonna see it the same time, just in different places. But no, I do have a friend who was like, "I really want to go see this movie," and I was like, "I have to go see it." So we're just gonna go. It'll just be probably just us two in the theater, and we're gonna have a blast.
Well, all right. Sounds good. So that was the box office for domestic for this week. But we're going to talk a little bit about the international numbers. What's cool, though, is that Sony, the new Tom Hanks, Dan Brown adaptation of his work Inferno, directed by Ron Howard.
I can't wait for that.
Released internationally a couple weeks ahead of its domestic release. So it's already got $50 million offshore from this frame, leading to an international and worldwide box office 2 weeks ahead of its domestic bow. The Da Vinci Code and Angel and Demon follow-up comes 7 years after the latter film and a week before Tom Cruise... is Jack Reacher and Never Go Back hits offshore box offices beginning on Wednesday. Also, this frame, Bridget Jones' Baby crossed $50 million.
Your favorite movie.
In the UK. Oh, man. All right. Great. Mm-hmm. And it's become working title's biggest film ever in the Netherlands. Look at that. What a feather in their cap. The Netherlands. Yes, we got that down. Breaking a record held by Notting Hill for 17 years.
Notting Hill is so good.
Man. Notting Hill is a fun movie, but who would have thought for 17 years it would hold the record?
I would have thought that. Are you kidding?
No, you wouldn't have.
Whoopsie
you would.
Daisy.
Not I.
I would not, as much as that's an enjoyable film, I would not think it would be that, held it like an iron head,
right,
ironclad
yeah.
lock on the top of the box office for 17 years. And in staggered release, Warner Brothers opened up The Accountant in 10 international markets this weekend. They're mostly in Asia, and the Ben Affleck star ended up getting $2.8 million on 1,190 screens. And Miss Peregrine's Home for the Peculiar Children welcomed another $23.5 million from 72 markets in its third week. The Fox film from Tim Burton has now an international box office total of $130.9 million.
Not bad, not bad.
No, and my favorite movie, Storks. I enjoyed that movie. I got another $10.6 million. Yeah.
He has a tattoo to prove it.
Which I let this from approximately 7,300 screens in 58 international markets. Man, that seems like a lot of screens. So far, it's got $71.6 million overseas. So there you go.
There you go. Now, did you see my interview with the kid who was the voice of the son in it?
I didn't want any spoilers, so I couldn't watch it.
He didn't do spoilers, but now you got to go watch it.
It seemed too sensitive. I couldn't do it.
Well, now you can do it now if you saw it already.
So they just voiced that? No, that's cool. I'll go check that out. Did you see it as well?
No, I didn't get to see it yet. But I was like, now I feel bad that I can't remember. Yeah, it's Anton Starkman, and he's... the voice of the son.
Oh, cool.
The family that's going to get a baby.
Oh, nice. All by himself, or did he get to do stuff with
He was by himself. But at the red carpet, he had a lot of cute pictures. I follow him on Twitter, and he has a lot of cute pictures with them. I'm like, aww.
Aww.
He's really nice. Really nice kid.
Or have we been talking about this movie for like the past 10 weeks?
Storks?
I feel like it's just been out for like the longest time.
Richie, there's never going to be another time doing box office breakdown where we don't talk about Storks. It's just part of the fabric of the show from now on.
And Delaware's
mm-hmm. And during Storks the intros and outros of the show, I'll give a shout out to Storks.
Is Storks the new Warcraft?
No, okay.
It is. It really is. Except that we already had someone who saw it. And when didn't pretend to see it for 4 weeks.
Well, I didn't pretend. I just flat out didn't see it. But when I did see it, ogres.
Boy, did he.
That was ogres. He said ogres. That was it. Mm. That's how his feelings about the
Wait,
ogres.
When did you see it? Last couple weeks?
No, I saw it like...
Okay.
I didn't see Storks.
No.
Let's be clear.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't see that.
Whoa.
I did see Warcraft, but it was much later.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I was going to say, too, when Kubo came out, there's a lot of really good kids' movies coming out soon, so I'm excited, because Stork's trailer looked better when I saw more trailers for it, so I was more interested. Even Trolls looks really cute, and I'm really excited for Monster Trucks. Have you guys seen the trailer for that?
Yeah, we'll see.
No, come on! Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah,
it's actual monsters in the truck.
Yeah.
I'm like, man. That's so cool.
I'm in.
It's cool.
Sky says, word of advice to film studios, lower the budgets, make more original content, make more quality films, take your time. It's okay. Storkcraft. We talked a lot about this yesterday, or last week.
Storkcraft.
About how we kind of feel about, you know, these studios rushing to get things out.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like, I think we have, like, you know, we look back on, like, I don't know, like, The Godfather. Like, think about these movies that took, like, so, so long, and they're these wonderful works of art, and I just feel like we've kind of, I mean, I do sometimes wish that we could give ourselves the leniency to go back to that time and really take some time and...
Sure.
You know, but I guess we're doing that with TV?
Nope, not interested.
Yes.
If you give TV me a date, I want
and,
it.
And, like, original online content.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe we're just finding different ways for that creative outlet.
It's tough to completely say it's only because they need more time, because sometimes it's that lack of time that forces people just to really operate quickly and efficiently within those kind of like structured parameters that can end up resulting in a good movie. Not always the case.
No,
and not always the case that if you have all the time in the world that you're going to get a great film either.
I will admit some of our days of filming, we had a couple of those times where we had to rush, but in a way it added to our filming because we're like, we have 30 minutes to finish the scene. We have to leave. And then it gave that, like, go energy to the scene, which helped our actors. But
which fits when you're filming a horror movie.
It does. You're like, okay, we got to go. We have to be out of here.
And at the same time, with times changing, like, people don't want to sit through a three-hour movie like The Godfather anymore.
Oh, yeah, not anymore. No way. You know, people are like,
what about Titanic? I'd watch that a million times.
No, like, people's attention span nowadays totally is like 2 hours.
All right,
maybe.
Real quick. I 90 minutes for you?
Except that I've watched 2 days worth of Pretty Little Liars, and I've watched an entire season of Pretty Little Liars in 2 days.
Yeah,
so.
And then people binge watch TV shows like over a weekend and watch a ton of them. So,
are they doing these things? How does that happen?
What's your ideal time for running time for a film?
Oh, I don't care. I watch Bollywood movies, and those are like 3 hours, man. So
for you, it doesn't matter.
Long, short,
doesn't keep
as long as it's cool.
Okay.
I don't care.
Richie Scott, hard and fast. You prefer a 90-minute sweet spot.
90 minutes, in and out.
All right.
Popcorn, gone.
But if you see something like, you know, Captain America Winter Soldier or Civil War, 2 hours, a little over.
Okay. I'll make an exception.
I'll make an exception.
Like,
that's a superhero movie. I can take that.
It goes movie by movie.
How long does a movie feel? I remember.
It goes movie by movie. Obviously, if it's comedy, I don't want a Funny People or whatever that was that was so long. Like, no, if it's a comedy, give me 90 minutes. If it's something that's longer, that's something that's going to really, you know, keep you hanging. I mean, give me a 3-hour movie for sure. I don't care.
I forget how long it actually is, but when Inside Man came out, that was like a 2-hour something. It went by like that because it was so engaging. You're just like, oh my gosh, what happens next? So I agree with that. It's how does it feel? Yeah. Does it feel long? Because there's plenty of long movies that can feel really short. Plenty of short movies that can feel long.
Really long.
You're like, that was only an hour, but I felt like I was in there for like five. You know, it just depends on their pacing.
The worst is when you're sitting in the movie theater and you're starting to think about like what you're gonna eat for dinner.
Yes, and you're like, oh, I'm detached.
Your phone and what you're gonna do. That sucks. I hate that.
What about you, Frank?
For me, you know, I always feel like that 2-hour mark is like kind of nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two.
I always like that. It seems to me that's a good spot for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those movies
Titanic
that if I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm. I'm down. 194 hours.
And I watched that movie a lot.
I watched that movie a bunch of times.
The other day, I literally heard my neighbors playing it. And so I watched it.
Did you go down there with him?
No, I turned it on my own TV because I was like, you're right. That sounds like something fun to watch. So I turned it on.
I haven't watched it since it came out, but I know when it came out, I saw it like four times.
You haven't watched it since it came out?
Probably not.
Oh my gosh, I watch it like 8 times a year.
What?
Oh my God.
Avatar was 245 minutes.
Eight times a year you watch?
You know, I probably watch it all in all 4 times a year, but I watch the first half, and then, like, I'll watch the second half. Like, not because I don't want to watch, but just because, you know, life gets in the way and stuff. But I probably watch it 4 times a year. Life.
Wow.
Four times. And this is that something that you own and you put in, or you just, when you see it across TV, you watch it?
Well, I don't have cable, so if I want to watch something, I have to search for it.
Okay. All right. 4 times a year. Look at that.
For sure, 4 times a year. Yeah. Easy 4 times a year.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, well, people are talking about Avatar and Watchmen. I liked both of those, and those were longer ones.
Oh, my God. Watchmen felt like it was going to last forever.
Yeah, it did. But I didn't think Avatar felt like it was that long.
No.
Media Shock, hour and a half long, and I'll usually skip it. So if it's only 90 minutes, Media Shock is what? It's not good for you, Media Shock? Mm. Only 90 minutes.
What happened to Quickies?
But it depends. Like that.
Also, when you're at home, like, what time do you have? Like, speaking of TV shows, like, normally at night, if I don't have a lot of time, I don't want to watch a whole movie. I can watch a 30-minute episode or an hour episode and be done. But then again, once you've watched one episode of something, you're like,
you're in.
I can do another one. We can do one more.
Yeah.
One more. But yeah, and you'll binge watch. I've binge watched for hours.
What is the thought process when you're watching something at night that goes into, am I about to watch some TV or am I about to watch a movie?
I can do a one-off on a show.
Do I plan to go to sleep?
Yeah.
If it's a movie, you'll go to sleep.
I'm going to sleep. Yep.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yep.
Shows are easier because you can watch the one and stop. Like, you can have that. It's hard, but you can have that self-discipline and be like, all right, I'm just going
to
do one.
Does it have anything to do with, like, oh, man, it's Sunday and a new episode of Westworld came out and I have to watch that? Or you don't mind waiting a couple days?
Only new shows I watch are here.
What do you mean?
I don't watch anything live besides here.
Yeah, I've kind of stopped. So it has to be Netflix.
I don't have anything live, so I would be binge watching anyways.
Gotcha.
So yeah, guys, I don't have cable either. So the only live shows I watch are here.
Too.
Yeah,
I think Game of Thrones at this point is the only show that I rush to watch the second because Twitter and whatever else is gonna get spoiled. Yeah.
All right, so we'll look at that. We're talking about all this. Media Shack's got the 4-hour version of Watchmen. You're a brave man, Media Shack.
Oh my God! Oh, wow. Why?
Now we've got some upcoming films.
Dude, no wonder you saw Max Steel. You're crazy.
Well, you Quinn will be seeing that together. Yes. We did talk about our box office bet. We'll be doing our next box office bet at the end of the episode. We'll be betting on one of these four films: either Boo, A Madea Halloween, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, Keeping It with the Joneses, or Ouija, Origin of Evil. So start thinking about which one you want us to start doing our box office bet on. I'll call for votes in just a moment. But before we do that, we do a little top five inspired by one of the actors in one of these films from the upcoming box office weekend. And I decided to go with John Hamm, mainly because, like Tom Cruise, if you look at his top five, like the first four are all Mission Impossible movies. And you're like, okay, that's great. So, Zach Galifianakis, his top three Hangover movies. So we're like, all right.
Yeah.
So John Hamm gave us the most wide variety of things to talk about.
What a weird movie career he's had, by the way.
Yeah, yes. You know, I mean, John Hamm, great. You know, is so much success and acclaim in television, but hasn't really stuck it in film.
On TV, we know him so well in Mad Men as John Draper, and he's just like this serious kind of like tough asshole. And then all of his movie roles have been kind of like goobers.
Well, but then he also did so well on Saturday Night Live, and then he started doing bits on 30 Rock, and so he got that little niche of being a really funny guy as well, too.
Because he's like this handsome, like silly thing. It's a weird little amalgam of a person.
But I guess he's just never found that role to let him translate all of that to
a film. Some people are just television or just movies, because there's been movie actors that try to do TV and it doesn't really work either. Yeah. And then some do both.
I think
he does both really, really well. I just think he does both really, really differently, which is really fascinating.
Yeah.
So coming in for number five for our case here, I'm kind of eliminating some things that he just did cameos in. So we'll go for the top five that he's actually did, that he was a significant role in the film. So his number five, Friends with Kids, came out in 2012. $2 million for its opening weekend.
I actually like this movie.
It's not a go-to rush to see it movie, but I think if you want to watch some comedians do some really nice, really zoomed in acting, that's what you're going to get with this movie. It's still funny. It's still silly. But there are some moments where you have, like, you know, these, yeah, they're all comedians. It's an indie movie. They're mostly comedians. But they're doing some really, really, really just, like, good human work. And that's what I thought was really good about this movie.
Nice. Mm. Number four for him, Million Dollar Arm from Disney.
I didn't get to it, but that was one I was interested in seeing.
Yeah. Did not see this
Yeah,
movie.
I wanted to see it, too, but I also didn't.
I mean, inspired by a true story. Yep. 2014 made $10.5 million its opening weekend. I didn't get to see that one either. Number three for his was The Town. Ben
that was
Affleck's
a good movie.
Film there from Warner Brothers came out in 2010, $23.8 million.
Did he have a big part in this?
He played the cop in that one that was trying to crack Ben Affleck and all of his little hooligan pals.
That was a good movie.
Then number two, Bridesmaids from Universal came out in 2011.
Amazing.
$26.2 million.
Didn't like it.
Amazing.
Explain.
It's not funny. It's the awkward comedy, like the let's just be people in awkward situations
like to come
and
back?
Laugh at them.
Like,
I didn't see that one.
You know the comeback with the
Lisa Kudrow Showtime.
Yeah, I also have an issue with
and every joke should have been ended 20 minutes sooner. Like when they're doing the toasting scene, just end it.
Loved
it was not funny.
I think there are some parts of this movie that are really, really good, and then I totally agree with you with a lot of this. Like, people like loved this movie. I mean, I think the wedding dress scene was awesome.
Was.
You know,
Kristen Wiig is so hilarious.
Thank you.
Definitely parts of it where it's just like it's so hard when it's like she's so down for the entire movie. It's like it's exhausting. It's almost
you can't even take her being down seriously.
Oh wait, that was the one we talked about. The one scene I thought was funny that nobody laughed at. Is when they're having the weird carrots conversation, and then he gets her the carrot cake she gives him the carrot cake as the apology, and nobody remembers that scene. But I'm like, that's funny because it was a callback and it's a reference, and that was funny because you're like, do you remember that? Nope, that's the only part. It's all right.
Harry, that's not why we're watching this movie.
I know.
But there were parts
just,
of it. I mean,
it's
but the
drags. Just drags.
I mean, when she's on the plane and she's like, stove's not a name. It's an appliance. That's not my name.
No.
My name's Steve. There were parts of it that I thought were really great. But I agree with you. I have a really hard time, like the show The Comeback, where it's really, really hard to be on board with her
yes. Okay.
Because she makes everybody around her so miserable and it's hard to laugh at. And that I do understand.
Oh, and he has the best line in that movie. Hey, sex buddy.
Does he say that?
I just...
Albin is with... I can't tell if he's with Quint or Carrie on Bridesmaid. Jet Apple does not know how to edit
a comedy. It's super overrated, I felt. And then, like... If people are like, oh, it's all female comedy, which I'm like, hey, that's great too. But like Pitch Perfect, I thought was great. Like that one, I thought was hilarious. And that was like an all female cast.
First one was great.
Second one
I could take or leave.
And at the same time that came out was She's Out of My League. And that was out at the same time as Bridesmaid. And I thought that one was hilarious.
Wait, with Jay Baruchel?
And T.J. Miller, where he played the arrow.
That came out the same time as Bridesmaids?
That is hilarious.
It is. It's so good. It came out the same time.
I thought that movie came out, like, 10 years ago.
No, came out at the same time. I worked at Blockbuster.
I also like that movie.
Bridesmaids. I'm like, Butch, have you seen this one?
Honestly, put T.J. Miller in everything.
Yeah.
Actually, except for Big Hero 6. That was weird.
Yeah. So, anyway.
So it looks like Jack Harrington.
Yeah, they fester. Exactly, the jokes fester. Ooh, I like that word.
That's supposed to be the funny thing, I think.
Yeah, it's just.
No, I'm with you. I'm not saying.
Get Him to the Greek was the one that was like very annoying. Of let's put people in awkward situations and laugh at them.
I didn't like that movie.
And you're like,
it was a rough one.
Yeah.
No, because I think we talked about it before. Russell Brand worked well. Just a little bits and pieces as a focus.
Yeah.
Too much of him is not a good thing in a film.
Exactly.
And coming in for number one for Mr. Hamm, The Day the Earth Stood Still from Fox came out in 2008, $30.48 million.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being excited about this film and then watching it and being like,
I know for a fact that I saw it, but I'm having a hard time remembering much about it.
It was Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves, when he's an alien or something.
Yes.
No, I missed that one.
I did see it, but I really can't recall anything, which I think that says a lot.
Yeah. I watched it and I was like, all right, thanks.
Yeah.
That was it.
Like, meh.
So that was our little top five inspired by one actor there. We're getting ready to talk about our box office bet. In fact, Albin, thank you so much for keeping track of the votes kind of flying around in here. As we're getting ready to do our box office bet, start chiming in now, see if the votes change. But right now, it looks like we have 5 votes for Madea. Dear Lord, help us.
Oh, see, and I didn't like Step Brothers either.
Would you take it over Bridesmaids, though?
No.
No? Okay.
But I know people love it. I'm just...
It's not a cup of tea.
I thought it was a good movie.
All right, so we're going to do our box office bet. Guys, start chiming in on the chat. We're going to be betting on one of the following films: Boo, Madea Halloween, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, Keeping Up with the Joneses, and Ouija Origin of Evil. While you cast the remaining votes here, so far, as I said, 5 votes for Madea, 1 for Jack Reacher. While you guys continue to vote for a little bit, we are going to do our top 5 predictions for next week's box office. Richie Sky, you want to chime in what you think next week's box office top 5 is going to look like?
Okay, sure. I'm going to say at number 1 is going to be Jack Reacher. Mm-hmm. Then number 2, I'm going to say Keeping Up with the Joneses. Number 3, I'm actually going to say Boo, a Madea Halloween. Hmm. Number 4, I'm going to go with... Interesting. I'm actually going to go with Ouija, Origin of Evil. And then I'm going to go with The Accountant.
Interesting. So everything else on that top 5 currently is getting bumped, and except for
The Accountant. I think so, because, I mean, listen, they're already kind of low at this point. So I just feel like they're going to just slide on down the scale.
Interesting. Just a couple of figures here. Jack Reacher in 2012 opened up to $15 million. And Masterminds with Zach Galifianakis, who does play a role in Keeping Up with the Joneses, came out in September, $6.5 million for its opening. So,
yeah, there's not many comedies out, though. So,
I mean, I think this one looks better than Masterminds with him and Kristen Wiig.
Oh, see, that trailer, too. I was like, nope.
I wouldn't mind seeing this.
Did you guys ever see The Joneses with David Duchovny and Demi Moore?
Where they're trying to sell people on stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. This movie, Keeping Up with the Joneses, kind of looks almost like a cross between The Joneses and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So we're going to have to see how that does.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, so Carrie Lane, what are you thinking?
I'm kind of siding along with Richie over there. I definitely think Jack Reacher will be number one. Tom Cruise is easy box office pull, and first one was really cool. I like the first Jack Reacher, so
yeah, I like to. In terms of like promotion, I mean
they've done a lot of promo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, number 2, maybe I'll switch up something just to be different. I'll go with The Accountant. Number 3, Madea, because this one's too, like, since there's so many, like, there's a certain crowd that's gonna go see it, so. I don't know what the crowd is exactly, but
just,
yeah,
but
the
also
fans of
just
that
like
movie.
A little bit of, I mean, okay, so first Jack Reacher said $15 million, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
These Madea movies have not made them less than 25 in their opening weekend yet. Yeah.
So I'll go 3, right. And then Jones is 4, and Ouija 5. I think they'll bump out the other stuff, and then Ouija's done a pretty good job of advertising as well.
Mm-hmm. They've had a pretty long
and there's not
campaign.
Many comedies, so then maybe Keeping Up with the Joneses has a chance.
Seeing that little girl in her jaw, like,
oh, it, yeah.
I actually think that, I think Ouija is gonna do really well. I have seen crazy
and it's
more promotion.
Getting closer to Halloween.
Yeah,
so.
I think you guys are underestimating Ouija.
Right. Oh, well then let's
then you
speak
show
your
us,
mind.
Yeah.
I'm putting Quit Ouija scaling. First.
Ooh.
Oh my God, Big Spender is
Big
back
Spender.
At it again.
I'm gonna do Ouija first. I think that movie is gonna do really, really well. Also, horror movies have just done so well in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Conjuring 2, that just like hung around forever.
That was really good.
And so I think that I'm gonna go with kind of the trend that I've been seeing. I'm gonna keep Ouija first. I'm gonna do this Madea movie second.
Madea,
boo. Again, another Halloween movie, but these numbers are just crazy high for these movies. So we're gonna go boo second. I'm gonna do Jack Reacher third. Accountant, Keeping Up with the Joneses.
All right.
Oh, interesting. You know,
I love the way you shook it up there.
I just, but I wanted to give you like my reasoning. Like, I'm not
it's
that
good to hear
crazy.
It.
No.
Okay.
You know, I find myself siding with Quinn on this one in terms of Ouija.
Oh.
Yeah, I can see Ouija number 1.
Look at that.
I'll go Jack Reacher number 2. I don't want to. I'm going to go.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going Ouija, Jack Reacher, The Accountant. I guess I'll. Oh man, I guess I'll go Boo and then Keeping Up with the Joneses.
You do not sound so confident
Listen,
in your decision.
It's so funny though. I would not mind having to go see any of these movies. I wouldn't.
The Madea movie.
I'm with you, Frank.
Oh, no.
But you know what? I've never seen a Madea movie, so maybe if I have to,
this
can be the
time.
There might be a reason.
If you've never seen a Madea movie, you might actually enjoy the movie.
Yeah, maybe because it'll be fresh.
You know what I mean? Because it'll be fresh to you. But like, I've seen pretty much all of them, so it might not be that fresh to me because I kind of know what's going to happen.
But, no, I like, you know, horror comedy, but I'm like,
I don't know.
I don't know. All right, so that's going to be our top five pick, but it looks like, what are we looking at here?
Voting
is still open here, but it looks like it's five for Madea, one for Jack Reacher. I don't think we're going to get any other late votes. I think the chat room is kind of sense the temperature of the panel.
Yes.
Knowing that we're not that jazzed about Madea.
They're like, whoa.
Yeah, and I do not blame
you. The island has spoken. Faces,
man. You got to learn.
Get out of here, Richie Scott. You're the worst poker face on all of us. Come on.
Six Madea, two Jack Reacher. I mean, let's just call it.
We are doing boo. Mm-hmm. A Madea Halloween. Yeah. So there you go. As the box office bet, as it always works there, folks, the person who's closest to the actual box office gross of that film the opening weekend wins.
Wait,
the
one closest?
Wins. So they win. So that's
win like glory.
Yes,
the glory. Oh, okay. We're not doing the farthest away.
Okay, good. Yeah. So the person who's farthest away.
Yes, we're still playing that game.
Okay.
Yes,
that's what I'm like. Whoa! I hope you didn't change up things that much. While
no.
Sheesh,
of course, the person who's farthest away from the actual box office gross, they lose. Thanks, and we'll have to go see this film. Thank you, Alvin, for keeping a track on the voting. Very much appreciated. So yes, Carrie, Jack Reacher's going to be in your own time.
No, I'm with Jack. The Madea movie looks terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oof. Yeah.
8 mil Madea. That's low.
Oh, yeah. All right. So
I think I said it. Where did you put it?
All right. So as the loser of last week, Quinn reserves the right to go last for this.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
Yes. There we go. So I guess, you know, she's been back for a little while. So she's been gone for a little while. Carrie Lane, we'll give you first crack.
I guess I'll put it at the bottom. I think I said fifth. I don't even remember. I just said it. 12.
There's the music.
All right. $12 million for Boo, a Madea Halloween. All right.
Is that Richie Scott?
Don't speak at once, guys.
I'm going last.
She's got Quinn
going last. I earned the right to go last because I failed.
I'm fine with it.
All right, go ahead, Richie Scott.
I'm
going to
go with 18.
18?
Man.
18.
Wait,
right.
8 or 18?
18.
I think that sounds more right.
All right, so we've got
12.
Yeah,
12. 18. 12, 18.
I...
You don't want to see this movie. You're going to go somewhere in between those two.
Man, I so don't want to see this movie. I feel like I could just
put it. Didn't you put it way up there, though?
No, I put it down to number 4 for me.
So I think I was 4 or 5, so
I was like 3.
And that was a reluctant 4 for me. I feel like I was bound to a little public pressure. So, all right, my man, somebody mentioned 15 million in there. All right, I guess I can go, I'll go 15.
Okay.
15?
I put it number 2, so I got to put my money where my mouth is. We'll go 20.
20 for Quinn. All right.
This is a pretty good...
Good spread.
Yes. Yeah.
15, 18, and 20. So look at that. Pretty hot betting going on here. I can't wait.
So far over. Yeah. I should learn by now.
You should have said 60 again.
We'll be all looking on the internet next weekend and be
right. But you know what, though? I am going by the numbers. I have done my research, and that is how I chose that.
All right. Albin, support is backing me. Albin, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, let's keep your fingers crossed, everybody. We'll see what happens here. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. But as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you so much for everybody for hopping in the chat. We really appreciate it. Thanks for all your advice. Alvin, thank you very much for keeping track of the voting. If you want to continue the conversation even with us, even after the show's off the air. How about that? Get that sentence structure correct as we wrap up this episode. Richie Sky. Where can they find you?
You guys can stalk me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane and on Facebook at Carrie Lane Actor.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Quinn Skillian. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram. And you can add me on Snapchat at QuapChat.
Sky Patterson saying, keeping up with the Joneses, $30 million opening weekend. Come on, Sky. What are you talking about?
Oh, my
God.
No
way.
Media Shack wants to know, do they get to come with you next week also?
Woo!
Date night with Quinn.
It's a date, baby.
Jack Harrington going low for $6 million from Madea. Jack, we'll see if you're right or if one of our panel is correct.
Yeah.
And we'll find out who will be seeing Boo Madea Halloween next week. Please don't let it be me. We'll find out all that and more next week on Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. We'll see you then.
See ya.
from producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.